bacon and eggs, a little half a bagel with a schmear. I'm living a good life.
Here he is, Ira Kaufman, also known as the Birthday Boy, here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. He's the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. What are you waiting for? Go to BillCurryFord.com. Don't worry, drive Curry 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, and of course at the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E. You'll see all their new inventory, the used inventory, and get a look at the incredible revamped dealership. This is the biggest service department in the Bay Area and beyond. 100 loaner vehicles available. They will come out to your property to service a vehicle, pick you up and bring you in and get you in a loaner. They'll do whatever it takes. BillCurryFord.com. But of course, your trade is never going to be valued more than it is now. They've got some great trade opportunities to get into a new vehicle. Check it all out at BillCurryFord.com. And General Manager Sean Sullivan, he's our good buddy. He was roasting Ira. Actually, really just told a great Ira story at your birthday party on Saturday night, Sage. And Sean will help you personally and give you the Ira Kaufman discount and ask for it. That's all you got to do. He'll also guide you if you need some body work, whatever it is. Some great 0% financing offers and no payment offers for 90 days at Bill Curry Ford. Get there today, BillCurryFord.com. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. They have to be part of your storm plan, your disaster plan this time of year. Go to their website first, Florida'sElitereStoration.com, and learn all about their services. They take care of people with storm damage, water damage, mold, fire issues, whatever it is. Call them first, whether you're in Tampa or up in Newport Richie, like the Sage, or even Orlando, all the way across to the East Coast there. Florida's Elite Restoration owner Josh Martin has $500 back for you. All you got to do is mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call. And check out their Google reviews, 5 stars, which is tough in this business. They will battle the insurance companies for you. So you've got an offensive coordinator to go to work to get the money you need to restore your property, the money you deserve. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, we had a football game and some fun. How are you, buddy?
Well, I've been better, Steve. I've been better. Now, we had a great party, and you did a great job on Saturday. I got to sit down with Sean Sullivan and his son. Never met his son. Kid's fantastic, smart, well-mannered. Krasnicki showed up, Erlinson, Yasinskis, Jay Retcher, you and Lee. Of course, my wife came. We had some neighbors show up. And Todd Wright, who's always great to see.
Hey, wait a minute, Sage. You forgot some other people at that party. There were some fans out there, some Ira Kaufman fans.
There absolutely was, and I really do appreciate them, you know, taking time out of their day. They didn't have to do that. They probably heard that there was cake, Steve. And by the way, you get the credit. The cake lived up to its billing. It's fantastic. and my wife's tough on cakes. She thought it was one of the best ones she's ever had. She wants to know the bakery. She's dragging me down to the bakery, Steve. I don't know if they got cannolis, but we're interested. Cream puffs, we're interested. So I had a great time. And we got to watch Buck football at the same time. So the roast wasn't too rough, Steve. You told a couple of good stories, but nothing I couldn't handle. 70's the new 40, Steve. That's just the way it is. Now, Steve, when the sun came up Sunday morning, I felt like $1 million. Great party the night before. My wife cooks me up bacon and eggs, a little half a bagel with a schmear. I'm living a good life, Stevie. And then as the day went on, which was my birthday Sunday, I felt out of sorts, Steve. A little feverish, muscle ache. Usually I got some chills, which to me is always the number one thing for me. Tells me I got a fever. But I'm always worried about my throat. You know, when I was a kid, Steve, I used to get tonsillitis like 3-4 times a year. You have to get that penicillin in you. But my throat's fine. So anyway, here I am on my birthday, Steve. I never left the house. Never left the house. Slept most of the day. Yesterday wasn't much better. Took a COVID test at home. It was negative. I got mild symptoms, Steve, but it's enough to make me out of sorts. A little out of sorts. Thankfully, we had a Buck victory Saturday night. And you know what, Steve? That's a B-plus Buck performance. And on Sunday, I was D-minus. So thank God the Bucks pulled it out. Not that it matters, Steve. Nobody's going to remember the final score in a couple of weeks when the games count. But it does matter how they look, Steve. And they weren't sloppy, which I think Bowles liked. three penalties, very good. And some guys showed out. A couple of running backs, nice gains. Yes, Sean Tucker, Steve, hadn't heard of him in about 9 months. He showed up. The rookie Irving, nice job. And what impressed me the most, Steve, were the holes. Now, they gained 390 yards, Steve. That's a good total. I don't care that the Bengals were playing the scrubs. So were the Bucks for most of the time. 390 yards is a good total, especially the running total. We're not used to that around here. And on defense, yeah, they gave up a couple of long passes. Nothing to worry about. But I'll tell you what to me was a real highlight, Steve. This kid, Isaac, who we haven't really talked about very much, undrafted. You can't play a pass better than Isaac did on that interception. It was fantastic. It looked like he knew everything that the receiver was going to do. He beat him to the spot. We're not used to that around here, Steve. We're not used to a lot of picks. I think they had 13 last year, Steve. Am I correct? 17 games? 13? That's not a big total. So, look, it's going to be tough for Isaac. I don't know if he's going to make the team. But I'll tell you what, that was one impressive sequence for this Isaac kid. And don't think Bowles didn't notice.
As obsessed as Bowles is with takeaways, it gets noticed. It was a heck of a play. If fans haven't seen it, it is definitely on any of the highlights you'll find out there. But Ira, you know, the encouragement from the offense, keeping the perspective a little bit, you look at offenses around the NFL, and a lot of them struggle to put up yardage in their first preseason game, including the Panthers, which were just awful. I don't think I've ever seen anything that bad.
The Chiefs, they didn't do anything. That's right.
Yep. So, it's not about the competition necessarily. It's about how you're executing, and especially within a new offense. And for them to have, you know, like you said, 390 yards of offense, it's impressive. And the Bengals did have some first teamers out there early in the game. So you know what? You know, hey, the Bucs didn't have their first team, and I like it, especially with a new offensive coordinator. I thought that was maybe the biggest takeaway is, look, the line looked good. Bowles was even willing to say that the line looked good, and you know, they moved the ball. Kyle Trask wasn't perfect. Bad pick, couple other bad throws. You know, nothing special, no touchdowns. But still, they got enough done to leave you encouraged.
You know who might have been the star of the game? Now, this might sound crazy, Steve. I don't think it is. And you know me. I have an affinity, Steve, for offensive linemen. I tend to gravitate towards them in the middle of the week at the locker room at $1. And certainly after games, especially if the Bucks lose, Steve. Everybody wants to talk after a win. Well, after a loss, a lot of guys hit the shower and they try to wait you out. Usually not offensive linemen. Usually not. You remember DeMar Dotson, Steve, Donald Penn, Marpet, Jensen. These were solid guys. They knew we had a job to do. And Steve, here I go. I think Graham Barton might have been the star of that game. Steve, now, he threw a hellacious block at the goal line. All right, everybody saw that. He kept it going to the second level, maybe the third level. He was really solid. And poor Hainsey, you know, who Jason Light's still trying to talk out. He's not going to get his old job back. He's just not. And that's not a big knock on Hainsey. You know, the first round pick usually plays. And if he doesn't, there's a problem. I like this Barton guy, Steve. I like everything about him. He's sharp. He says all the right things. He's a team player. And I think Mayfield's going to love this guy from day one when the season starts.
Sage, on your podcast, Jason Light, who was on the last podcast, great interview. If you haven't heard it yet, go back and listen. I may even tack it on the end of this podcast just to, for those who are lazy. However, Sage, one thing he said was, hey, you know, with Barton, his nasty hasn't shown up yet. You know, we haven't seen it in practice. And yeah, that's understandable. He's got a lot of lots to process and it's your own team. You know,
that's
he,
right.
And I think the nasty did to a degree show up in this game, and I was very excited about that.
You know, Steve, let's be honest. That position in particular, it's not a left guard or a right guard. So this is a warrior mentality, Steve. It has to come over time because I think the first priority at this stage for a rookie like Barton is the cerebral aspect of the game, the mental aspect of the game, getting players in position, refining your snaps, which off and on have been a little bit of a minor issue. Steve, I have no doubt the nasty will show up, perhaps, this weekend in Jacksonville. But he looked like he belonged, Steve. He absolutely looked like he belonged. His first action against anybody that's not in a Buck uniform. I think he's going to be outstanding. Now, is he going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year? No. They never give it to a center. Not going to give it to a center. But I think it's a serious upgrade. Bredesen and him and Wirfs. I think that's a good trio. I'd run the ball behind those three if it's third and two. And I think they're going to be successful with it. And by the way, Steve Cohn, you know, you got to give him some credit for the 390 yards. Mayfield didn't play. They still had 390 yards. Very few mental errors, which Bowles goes crazy about if it's over a certain amount. Turnovers, minimal. Penalties, minimal. Even if they lost the game 14-10, I thought they outplayed Cincinnati thoroughly. Time of possession was lopsided. Yards, lopsided in Buck favor on the road. Look, I know it was an exhibition game, Steve. I'm not going to go crazy about it. But I think the more Bowles looked at that film, Steve, and the more you and I looked at it, we said that's a good start.
Yeah, it's not about the score. There was a late drop by the Bengals that probably could have won the game for them right at the goal line. So, you know, it's just how it goes. Sage, I got to ask you this, and then I'm going to bring Lee in. And we're not ignoring Lee. He's just joining us a little bit late. But after the game, Todd Bowles really, really went out of his way to talk about how his running backs were hitting the holes, you know, running hard to the line of scrimmage, and there were some holes there for him. And he really expressed some happiness with the running game. But the way he phrased it was as if he was sending a message to Rashad White. Just the exact quote here. I think the biggest thing is they're getting downhill. Nobody is dancing back there like they were in the past.
Yeah.
Whoa. You know, let's face it. Sean Tucker and Bucky Irving's a rookie. And the other guy running, DJ Williams, he's a rookie too. So the past, that's Rashad White. It's pretty strong stuff as considering White didn't play. And now I think it's good for White to have some of this pressure on him from the guys behind him.
I do too, Steve. That word dancing, it's not a great word if you're a running back. It's usually applied to Rashad White, and I'm sure he doesn't like it, Steve. Now, the other point, which you have to acknowledge, the holes were better. You know, Lee and I, Steve, you've been listening to it for a couple of years, and Lee and I disagree a lot. He thinks a lot of times the holes are adequate, and White's not taking advantage of it. I don't always agree with Lee on that. I just don't think they've gotten much push the last 2 years, and White hasn't helped with that hesitation. Steve, was it Light that mentioned Le'Veon Bell to us? That was a little surprising because you and I have talked about Le'Veon Bell, and now you had Light talking about it. There's only one Le'Veon Bell, Steve. That tactic of hesitating and waiting for the holes to develop, that's an outlier. And Bell in his day was a hell of a back. He was. White on his best day is not Le'Veon Bell in his prime carrying the football, Steve. He's just not. But I just think the holes were much better and easier to hit them hard without hesitation and without any dancing. And I think if White got the ball, Steve, Saturday night with the same performance on the offensive line in terms of run offense, I think White would have had 50 yards in eight carries. I really do.
Well, Sage, that's the big mystery. That's what we don't know. And I can't say the holes were crazy, but there were enough of them. And just the way that Bucky Irving makes players miss, there was one time where he, you know, ran sort of toward the guard and the right tackle, and he almost made a juke backwards before exploding in another direction. It was a kind of move that Rashad White doesn't make, and Sean Tucker broke some tackles. He really did. So it's exciting. I love the pressure on White here, and we'll see what he does in these joint practices when they're really hitting in Jacksonville. It'll be very interesting to see.
He's got to strap it up because, as you said, he didn't have any competition last year. Let's be honest. He didn't. And he kind of acted like he didn't. And now he does. Now, Steve, you and I are not taking the next leap and saying that Rashad White's in danger of being a third down pass catching back, of which I think he'd be spectacular. And so do you. Although I got him ranked a little higher than you do as a pass catching back. I got him top five in the league. I don't think Light and Bowles will be very quick to give up the majority of the snaps to Bucky Irving or Tucker, but White's starting to hear footsteps, Steve. I don't think that's a bad thing from Buck's perspective.
No, I think it's good, but I'll speak for myself, Sage. I do think that they would be quick to pull White if they think one of the other guys is better at running the ball. I don't think there'll be any hesitation. You know how this goes, Ira. Bruce Arians drafted Rashad White, not Todd Bowles. And yes, Jason Light is there too, but they got a lot out of White, and they may start to feel, you know what, we got as much as we could get out of him. And yeah, he is going to be a great third down back, and he is going to be a nice change of pace if Bucky Irving, can run well. If they're determined, okay, let's get Sean Tucker one series a game, like they used to do with Keyshawn Vaughn, and see if he can do something. And if Bucky Irving is going to get 8-10 carries, like you've said, you think he is, hey, if he's popping 5 yards a carry, I think he's got a shot to be that number one guy.
You're exactly right about that, Steve. I would give it 3 games. And Steve, if White's still averaging 3.7 and Irving's averaging 4.4 on fewer carries, granted, there's a lot at stake this year. This team thinks they're a Super Bowl contender. I think it's a little bit of a stretch, Steve. I don't go along with that, but I got no problem with them thinking that way, especially getting to the second round of the playoffs and the game tied at Detroit after 3 quarters. Why shouldn't they think of that? Why not? Within a week, Brandon Ayuk could be gone from the 49ers, Steve. That doesn't help the 49ers. That brings them back to earth a little bit. Still got Kittle, still got Samuel, but Ayuk's a stud, Steve. He's not Tyreek Hill, but he's very good. How would you compare him to Godwin? I think he's very comparable to Godwin, maybe even a little better.
Yeah, a little different players, Sage, a little different, but I know where you're going with that for sure. All right, Sage, so Lee is here, and Lee, what stood out for you from that game? Obviously, we heard Ira's comments there. What really smacked you over the head as maybe a top two things that we need to know?
Okay, they're running the ball better. And then this morning, I was reading how the Bengals' interior defensive line is terrible. And that was not based on the preseason game. That was based on preseason expectations. So I don't know what to think. I guess the thing that smacked me over the head more than anything was a day later, Todd Bowles takes it wasn't even a veiled shot, a direct shot at Rashad White about what I've been saying for a year, that he doesn't read holes. That's the biggest thing I took out of it. And I'm starting to do some math. So I was at practice Monday. I swear I don't remember, and it's not in my notes, because I do notes play by play. Rashad White, I did not see, ran the ball once in practice. Not once. And I remember there's been a couple practices earlier on in training camp where White might have had one run with the first team, caught a boatload of passes with the first team, but maybe had one run. And I remember one specific day that I think he had the day I'm referencing, he had one run, but then they put him on third team. They had like 3 or 4 runs in a row. I was like, whoa, that's kind of weird. So the Bulls quote the day after, that sticks out to me more than anything. I can't come out and say this. I'm just, piecemeal here, using this little piece of evidence, this little piece of evidence, this little piece of evidence. I think they're getting fed up with Rashad White as running back, which I say hallelujah. If they keep feeding the ball to Bucky Irving and these other guys in practice, and White's not touching the ball, and then Bowles comes right on out the day after the first game and talks about how White doesn't hit the ball the hole hard and doesn't read his blocks. I don't know, Ira. Are they that sour on White being a running back? And if you ask me, yes, they should.
Lee, what else was grabbing you out of the game?
It was over. I know how I feel about preseason games. And if the starters are on in there, I'm like, what am I supposed to say? I don't know what to say, man. I'm not big on preseason games, and the starters aren't playing. Well, I don't take anything out of them. I'm sorry. I don't. Nothing hits me over the head. Nothing sticks out. I guess the running game sticks out. I guess Graham Barton looking okay, if not better than okay. The same with Mauk. I like their aggressiveness. I like their physicality. And I'll tell you what, and this is going to be rare for me because I'm going to talk about a backup. I had no idea this guy was even in the lineup because I don't pay attention to about third string. And there's this backup, and I can't remember his name. He went to Ian Beckles University and went to Indiana. And I was watching Barton highlights, and son of a gun, this guy popped every time I saw a Barton highlight. This guy was drilling people into the ground. This guy was knocking people around. His number 72, I remember that. And I texted someone with the Bucks, and I'm like, am I wrong that this guy had a hell of a game? Because he was putting bodies on the ground. He was knocking people around. And the reply was, no, he had a hell of a game. Luke Merle Haggard.
The Okie from Muskogee.
Well, this guy's from California, and he played for Indiana. He was a backup, but he impressed me because he was knocking heads.
I'm glad you checked on it, Lee. Steve, what's our boy DeKemper going to do week one, September 8th? Steve, what if the Bucks run for a buck 60 against the Commanders, score 30 points, win the game, and Mayfield throws 27 passes? What's poor DeKemper going to do?
He's going to stand up and cheer. Well, what else is he going to do? Hey, look, you know, when Doug Martin jumped in here as a rookie and made the Pro Bowl, and I believe he was an All-Pro as a rookie, you know, I mean, it was a beautiful thing. The guy just, you know, had juice and was durable and versatile. And, you know, we've seen good running back play here. Everybody loved LeGarrette Blount in his rookie year coming in. And, you know, 3 games in is when they finally gave him a shot. And then he lit it up, you know, with some real great runs and for a good football team with a rising offense. So, hey, we're all hoping to see that this year. If it's Bucky Irving, you know, so be it. We've done this before.
I have a quick question for you about the rookie.
Wait a minute, Lee. I got a quick one for you. Whose production was more surprising Saturday night, Irving or Tucker?
Tucker. I damn near wrote Tucker off. And the way Light was talking about Tucker at the combine, I thought he was done. I thought he was a goner.
And he mentioned Tucker on our podcast too, Lee. Yes, he did.
Yeah, I know. He asked specifically that, and he was very down on him. And if I remember, I didn't Light say something to the effect of he's got a long way to go.
He mentioned his name last week in our podcast in a positive way, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he's been practicing well. And, you know, practice is one thing, game format's another. And it looks like maybe this guy has turned the corner. Of course, you know, half the league looks good in August, you know. So let's wait till the real bullets fly.
Steve, are you reading more into the scrimmages against Jacksonville than you are the exhibition games?
No, I'm a preseason guy. It's kind of like if you don't call it preseason and you just called it intense practice without the BS, the BS no hitting and the guys going 85%. So that's what I would call it. So maybe we should just start calling it the night practice, the physical night practice against another team, because that's really what it is. So yeah, I think they mean more to the coaches and they certainly mean more to the fans. And the fun thing is, for me anyway, you can watch the all 22. You can really see what's going on. And I thought both running backs were really impressive. As I said earlier, Ira, both of them made cuts, that the types of plays you don't see Rashad White make when he gets a handoff. So we'll see. And you know, we laid it out. The pressure is going to be good and exciting. And maybe he's nursing an injury though. And that's possible with Rashad White. If Lee, you know, Lee's saying this.
Not obligated to give out injury reports in preseason.
Lee, one takeaway, which I didn't mention with Steve, which kind of, in a way, it's the biggest takeaway of all. No major injuries.
Yeah.
You gotta love that, Lee.
That's the goal. Keep everybody healthy. That's why they're sitting out, the starters. You know, they got get them healthy in January, get them healthy in September. Yesterday, I was at one buck. And Robert Hainsey gets up on the podium, and he comes right out and says the coaching staff they have this year came up with an offensive scheme that fits their skill set very well, in particular the offensive line. What do you make of that?
Here's what I'll say about this, Lee, and I don't think I'm reading too much into this. I want to know if Steve and you have picked up on this. Steve, have you noticed a little murmuring? That's your word of the day, Steve, murmuring. Steve, a little murmuring since training camp started at one buck, specifically about upgrades in the offensive line coaching staff. I don't expect Jason Light to take a pot shot or bowls at the previous people. But, Steve, I think there's a clear suggestion that they've upgraded there as part of the package, not just Liam Cohn, but the position coaches.
Well, I would hope they wouldn't take a pot shot at Goodwin or Gilbert, because Todd Bowles said they offered them contracts to return. So they'd really look stupid if that was the case. But yeah, you do get the feeling that Carberry, the new offensive line coach, has been with the Saints. He was with the Rams for a little while. He was the Saints head O-line coach last year. That this guy is more of a hard ass and is doing some different things. And you know what? Sometimes a position coach is just good to change to get a different voice. If you've noticed, Todd Bowles, he'll move around some of his coaches. You know, we've seen Larry Foote do different things. He's inside linebackers, outside linebackers, and some tweaks with some other guys as well. So, you know, this might just be something like that.
Now, Steve, I got to bring Lee back to reality. I don't enjoy doing this, Lee, but we have to address it. Steve and I didn't talk about it. As a downer, we talked about a lot of positives. Lee, am I going overboard, or was the pass rush not up to standards?
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with it. Kind of depressed about it. Now, I know one play that Steve brought up to me, and he brought it up to our good friend Sean Sullivan. Marquise Watts had a clear shot on the Bengals quarterback, and he was so slow. And it was such a clear shot that my read on the play was he was shocked that he had a clear shot, and he immediately thought it was a screen pass. That's what it looked like, because it almost like he downshifted. He had a clear shot at the quarterback, and he was like, oh, hell no, this can't be true.
Ira, it looked like you running to a buffet and then realizing it was only green beans and radishes.
So very hesitant steps, Steve. Hesitant steps.
Yeah, slow.
I'm not happy with this pass rush, Steve. Now, Lee, I know Bowles is a master. He does this, he does that with the disguises. But at the end of the day, you got to have some pass rushers.
Well, I know he poo-pooed you, Ira, on your podcast. He poo-pooed not having an edge rush. And,
right.
I mean, come on. The last time he had an edge rush, he beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
That's
because
right.
of that edge rush. So
that's
let's,
right.
let's come down to reality here. You need an edge rush. I mean, and you know, to be fair, you know, Yaya's been dinged up. And and Braswell, they weren't sending him. Even Bowles said that they weren't sending him. And Light explained that on your podcast a couple days prior. So basically, it was Ramirez out there. And Ramirez does look like a better player. He really does. Now, is he ready for prime time? I'm not sure. But he certainly looks better. And who knows about Watts?
Sage, I saw Braswell rush the passer. You know, he was sent in that game. Didn't do too much. One guy he was up against, I think a couple of times, was at right tackle. The Bengals' first-round pick, Mims, out of Georgia, who played a really good game for them. So, I don't know. I was really disappointed. If I had to pick out one guy, was Logan Hall. I mean, the guy was playing. He knew he needed to come out there with his head on fire, prove that he needs to be a starter or that he deserves it. Rondé Barber was even on the broadcast, Ira, saying this guy needs to, you know, play up to his draft status. You know that's coming right from the top.
And that's not easy, Lee, for Rondé to say that. He's not prone to those kinds of statements. Lee, when I talked to Brian Baldinger last week, late after an indoor practice, and we went over a bunch of guys. Of course, he worked out with Cansey. Lee, I mentioned Logan Hall. I did. I mentioned it. And I said, you know, it looks like a wrong draft pick. And you know what Baldinger said? And God bless him. He goes, it happens. And he's right.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, everybody swings and misses sometimes. No one's batting 100%. And Steve and I, we both listen to Bill Polian a lot on NFL radio. And he always talks about that. Was it Steve? He says the best general managers of the draft bat 600 in the first round.
But he had an incredible streak going, too, Lee. Incredible.
Yeah. But, I mean, he says the best general managers. Steve, correct me if I'm wrong on the figure. Bat like 600.
Yeah, the easier way to look at it is the top general managers in the first round, they hit 2 out of 3. The crappy ones miss 2 out of 3 and get fired. And, you know, that's kind of how it goes.
That sounds right, Steve.
Hey, Sage, let me ask you this, Ira. As you sit back, ready to head out to the doctor tomorrow in your beautiful cherry red Ford Escape 2020 from Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, Albert Breer got on his podcast today and was sat there and ran down some things, and he's picking the Bucks to win the division. And his cohort on the podcast, Connor Orr, also of Sports Illustrated, the guy who famously picked the Bucks to win 2 games last year, and Jason Light confronted him at the combine and it was on video. Connor Orr needled him a little bit and was like, hey, you know, whoa, are you sure about that pick? Oh, you're sucking up to the Bucks and this and that. Yeah, Albert Breer pretty much, you know, didn't take the bait and was like, I don't know why this is a hot take or something. And, you know, and he talked about the Bucks. And he was pushed a little more, and he said, yeah, he would bet his house on the Bucks winning the division this year, all things being equal with injuries and stuff. So I think it's significant, Ira, because Breer goes on a lot of shows. He's going to be on Dan Patrick, you know, before the season. He sits down for long, you know, visits with Rich Eisen.
He's on Rich Eisen.
Yeah. And he does some other stuff. And now I believe he's going to be on the as a lead analyst insider on the Amazon Thursday Night Football broadcasts. So I think the dynamic has maybe changed a little bit. What's going on here?
I can't say this forcefully enough. I don't think you should have to apologize for picking the Bucks to win the NFC South. I think that's ridiculous. They've got a track record. They brought everybody back. I think they've had a good draft. I'm looking for at least two starters, if you consider the nickelback a starter. And I do, along with Barton, and then we'll see how Braswell fits in. And then you got Bucky Irving. So they're not the same team, Lee. I think Light had a good draft. I'm not sold on the Falcons, Lee, and neither are you.
I'm not sold on Cousins being 100%.
You know, Raheem's got a lot to prove, Lee. He does. They lost their D coordinator, who I think overachieved last year with that defense. I was looking at their depth chart. Now, look, they got some nice players, Steve. They got a good O-line. Drake London is very good. Robinson is a hell of a back. No question about it. We'll see what Kyle Pitts does, Lee. He's been an underachiever. But I'm looking at their defense. I can't name more than four or five guys. I think the Bucks have more talent once Diaby gets back. And by the way, Lee, are we absolutely sure Diaby's going to be ready for week one?
I'm not. And I'm saying he won't. Until I see him out there, I won't believe it.
Hey, Steve, speaking of week one, would you put a spy? Now, we're not trying to tell Bowles what to do here, Stevie. Far from it. But we've talked about this with Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen and different guys. Steve, would you put a spy on Jaden Daniels? And if you do, you know, Devin White may have been the guy for the last two or three years that you would do that with, and he's gone. I don't know if Levante David's still quick enough for that assignment. What would you do about Jaden Daniels as a dual threat, Steve?
I don't think Bowles is going to go too overboard with that. Maybe that's an adjustment that he's prepared to make once the game starts. But I've been following Washington, Ira, in you know, some of their blogs and some other things just to get a good feel for opening day. They still don't have a kicker. They don't have a receiving core. They just signed a guy who hasn't played since 2018. As a receiver, they're a mess with a new coach, and yeah, sure, a lot of upside for Daniels, but man, the team appears as of now as just a fan watching from the outside. They appear to be a mess. I don't think Bowles is going to do anything like that unless the game dictates it. So if he has to put a spy on somebody, I don't know. He might get creative. If he doesn't think Levante David has the juice anymore. Maybe he puts Antoine Winfield in a unique role. I don't know, but I think
And Lee, we don't even want to think about losing the opener because they got to go to Detroit. We don't want to think about it.
That's not good. I know Steve likes to bring up the NFC Ready game, and I just think that's two different animals. Number one, I think Bowles is a competent NFL coach. I thought Lovie Smith was an incompetent coach, and also the offense that Tennessee ran for Mariota. That was such a foreign offense to the NFL. I don't think Washington's going to run such a foreign offense to the NFL. So I don't like using that as an analogy for those two reasons.
Steve, I'm just about to take my temperature again. It'll be the seventh time today.
Is this going to be a rectal temperature live on the air here?
Don't even go there, Steve. Don't even go there. That went out in 1968 when my mom did the honors, and we don't want to go there. So she used to put my socks on, Steve, when I was in junior high school. She put my socks on while I was still in bed because I'm colorblind, Lee. She couldn't have me have one brown sock and one green sock because I would get kidded. Now, look, they called me the Penguin, so I don't need any more ridicule back then. Yes, she put my socks on. I don't think we need to comment on that, Lee.
All right, Sage. Thank you to Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Get there now so you're prepared. When a storm comes, call them first. Don't mess around. That's what people do. They call them first. They get a free evaluation, and then you go from there so you know what you're doing so you don't get ripped off by the insurance industrial complex. Thanks, Bill Curry Ford. As always, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Sage, you got time for one closing question?
Yeah.
So Todd Bowles, if you do the research, right, so the Bucks have these joint practices in Jacksonville Wednesday and Thursday, and he probably won't play any starters in the preseason, which is what he said on Saturday in the game. So Todd Bowles, I did the research, Ira. When he was with the Jets, he was Mr. Preseason. Starters in week one. In 2017, he played his starters in week four of the preseason and said, hey, you only get better at football by playing football. Now he's with the Bucs, and he's changed. So what do you think changed? You know, Bruce Arians used to play starters in the preseason. Tom Brady wanted to play in the preseason and did. What do you make of this?
I think he's more confident about his stature. He knows the Glazers don't care, really, about the preseason. Just get out there with minimal injuries. Yeah, and they're not the only one. I think that's the Glazer philosophy, and I agree with it. That doesn't mean I wouldn't play Mayfield one quarter, you know, maybe in the third game. If Mahomes can play a quarter, Mayfield can play a quarter. But he hadn't proven himself as an NFL coach. It didn't work out well in New York. It did not. And now I don't feel he's on a hot seat. He doesn't think he's on a hot seat. Why should he be? Two division titles and a playoff win. So, you know, last year they had a winning record. So I just think he's looking at the preseason a little more casually. And I think it's a function of how he feels about his stature. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
Well, you know what? I don't know this. I'm just guessing. Because remember when he sat down for your podcast a week ago or so, Ira? And I asked him about, you know, why schedule three practices and a day off? Was, you know, I thought maybe he was trying to mimic the regular season. He said, no, their sports science showed that injuries pop up on the fourth and fifth day in a row you have a practice.
Nice.
And nice. So I'm wondering if his change of philosophy, and that was a good story that Steve wrote, I wonder if his change of philosophy has been influenced by some sports science data.
I think the Bucks have a good sports science crew, Steve. I think it's one of the better ones.
All right, Ira. Hey, feel better. That's number one. Take care of yourself. One thing I'll recommend, Ira, as you're sitting at home relaxing, pull up YouTube, pull up Sean McVay and his in-game interview during the preseason game against the Cowboys. Stunning, stunning stuff. And probably the future of broadcasting right there. I'm sure you might be asked about that in an NFL interview coming up. And we will be back.
Wait a minute. I got to get Lee to weigh in on, I guess Peter King's not doing Tuesdays with the doggy, and he's got Peter Schrager, Lee.
Smart move, though. That may be interesting because he's a little too pro NFL player, pro coach, pro NFL in general, where King was critical. Pete's pro NFL, so I wonder if Doggy's going to swallow that very easily or not. But I want to say this, Ivor, real quick. Your party Saturday night, we had some Bucks fans show up, some of your fans showed up, and I really want to thank them for showing up to wish you a happy birthday. A lot of your friends showed up, Ira, especially in the sports media world. Hey, it was a nice night, Saturday night, for those who, you know, couldn't make it. I'm sorry to hear that, but for the fans that did show up, I want to thank them, and I apologize I didn't get around to talking to everybody.
Well said, Lee. We'll do it again for my 75th, Lee.
So that means you're going to be around with us another 5 years, huh?
Of course, Lee, of course.